in 1982 on demonology. This is message number 4 in the series of 6 messages, and this message is entitled The Ministry of Deliverance. How to deliver men and women from the bondage of Satan, how to deliver the captives. It also deals with how to recognize and deal with Christians who have again been attacked by the enemy, and how we can help them and deliver them, and how we can protect ourselves from attacks of the enemy. On this tape, I want to talk to you about the ministry of deliverance. And we will first of all look at a few scriptures concerning the meaning of the ministry of deliverance. First of all, Luke 4, verse 18. The scene where the Lord Jesus himself returned to Nazareth and went into the synagogue on the seventh day and stood up to read. And he turned to Isaiah 60 and began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." To preach deliverance to the captives. And he said, this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears, because he had been preaching the gospel in all the cities in northern Galilee, and he had been healing the sick, casting out demons, and moving in a miraculous way, demonstrating the establishing of the kingdom of God. Later on, in Luke 9, verse 1, he said, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure sickness. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick." In Luke 10:19, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Even the demons are subject to us through your name." "Behold," said Jesus, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's the ministry of deliverance in the ministry of the early apostles. The Lord Jesus Christ himself demonstrated what he meant by deliverance, which is recorded in Mark chapter 5. Then he went into the country of the Gadarenes, that is, across the river Jordan. And out from the tombs came a man with an unclean spirit. No man could bind him, not even with chains. And when he saw Jesus, this man cried out with a loud voice. The evil spirit within him moved him. And he cried out, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." The evil spirit spoke through him. They knew who Jesus was. The disciples didn't know, but the evil spirits knew, and they expressed their concern about their future and about what he was going to do through the voice of that man. The reply of the Lord Jesus was, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked, "What is your name?" The spirits answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That is an account of how the Lord Jesus cast out demons. You don't pray for demon-possessed people. You cast out the demons. And when the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross, had finished his work of atonement, and was about to go back to heaven, he appeared unto the 11, and he spoke to them and said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons." That is the ministry as part of the gospel. Casting out demons, the ministry of deliverance, is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't have a proper ministry without recognizing that there are demon spirits inhabiting a large proportion of the people of Nigeria. The some are totally possessed, others are oppressed in various ways, and attacks of the enemy are frequent. All unbelievers are more or less under the control of evil spirits. And when we preach the gospel to them, we must recognize that this is their condition. We make the mistake very often of preaching to unbelievers academically. We show them the scriptures. We ask them to read the scriptures. We ask them, do you believe this? They reply, yes. And we then say, then let us pray. You are now saved. They are not delivered. They are still under the control of a demon spirit. And although they may mentally accept what the scripture says, they are not delivered. They need a recognition and an outworking and operation of the ministry of deliverance. A full ministry of deliverance will include, first of all, the recognition that any unbeliever is probably under the control of a demon spirit, and that demon spirit must first of all be bound or cast out. I want to refer to Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, where it says, then they brought unto him, that is to Jesus Christ, one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb. That demon had caused physical blindness, had caused physical dumbness, and he had to deal with that spirit. And it says he healed him. And obviously, the healing took the place, first of all, of Jesus casting out the spirit, because when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out demons. And Jesus took them up on the very same point. He said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, and therefore the kingdom of God is come unto you. Then he gave that wonderful piece of advice which we do right to heed and to take notice of if we're going to be ministering deliverance to men and women. And that is, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? That means, how can we enter into any person, how can we be with any person's personality, if there's a strong spirit in there, and a strong power controlling that person? You must first of all bind that strong power. And as I have said, most of the unbelievers of Nigeria today are under the complete control of evil spirits. Men and women, when they exhibit the physical defects of blindness, deafness, dumbness, lameness, and all the other physical defects of human nature, they are probably being controlled by demon spirits. And there is no need to preach healing to them, because in many cases they can't understand. They are bound by demons. And in that way, they are unable to function and exercise their will. Many of them would like to be free, but they are not free in their will to exercise their will. So in dealing with demon powers, we are first of all to bind the strong man and cast out those demons. That is part of the ministry of deliverance. May I also put a name to that ministry, which is a little bit different. And in Matthew 16, you will find, in dealing with the revelation given to Peter, which we will refer to later, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus Christ said to him, I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my churches, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, in case you feel that that is directed only to the Apostle Peter, I want to ask you quickly to notice in Matthew 18 and verse 18, he repeats it, and this time it is to the church. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whereas the literal translation is, whatsoever ye bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. That is, it. Two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall be shall ask, that it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. Well, there are two or three of them together in my name, they're in my name used. So part of the ministry of deliverance is a ministry of binding and loosing. I have bound many, many spirits. I used to think that it was binding men and women, but I do not now bind men and women. I bind the powers operating behind those men. We want men saved and delivered. We don't want them bound. But they are operating and being used by evil spirits, and our safe way is to bind the evil spirits operating over them. So in dealing with unbelievers, we are first of all to bind the powers that are controlling them. In ministering healing, we are to bind the powers that have been controlling them and holding them in bondage. And as we bind those powers in the name of the Lord Jesus, those powers must obey that name and be bound and not hold their captives in bondage any longer. That gives you freedom to minister to the people, and hoping that they will exercise their own will in their understanding and accept Jesus Christ and his deliverance. I want to specially mention this in connection with our families. Many of you have got members of your family who are unconverted. And I want to give you some hope. I want to say this. There is a probability that the Lord Jesus has kept you on earth as a member of that family, a saved member of that family, so that you can be the vehicle, the vessel, for the salvation of the whole of your family. The only way that God can get at your family is through you, if you're converted. And you have got to arrange and make sure that every member of your family is converted. Now, I'm sure you will agree with me, and I'm sure you will hope that that will come true. But many of you have also been praying for many years for salvation of your family, and you've been putting it on your agenda, you've been praying almost daily before God. May I draw your attention to the fact that in Matthew 16 that I mentioned to you, and Matthew 18, it mentions the ministry of binding and loosing. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And if you shall ask anything touching my kingdom, it shall be done for you." Now then, but first of all, if we know that God hears us, and we certainly know that God wants the salvation of all men on the earth, that is why Jesus Christ came to die for them. So we know it is his will for every member of our family to be born again and brought into the kingdom of God. So the next question of asking if it be God's will, we know it is God's will, and if we know it is God's will, we can ask in assurance. But we've got to realize that probably every member, every unconverted member of our family is under the control of a demon power. I don't say demon possessed. Please make note of that. I'm very slow to make an assertion that any person is demon possessed. It's not wise to make that statement. Particularly, you must not make that statement to the person concerned. It's something that they would not like to hear, and it is not good for them to think that they are demon-possessed. You may recognize by the gift of the discerning of spirits that they are demon-possessed, but you mustn't tell them so. And it is possible that in your family, the enemy is in charge of your family house. Have you ever felt that when you go home, that the enemy is there and in charge? Well, what do you do about it? I hope that you don't just go to your room and kneel down and pray about it. You are there. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. You have the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You are the messenger and the representative of Jesus Christ. And when you walk into that house, you have the power of God with you. Luke 10:19 says, "I give you authority over all the power of the enemy." Put that into operation. Instead of kneeling down and putting the matter on the agenda for God to deal with, you deal with it. Take authority over the demons in your house, bind them, and command them to leave. But they are now no longer in charge, because you, as a representative of the kingdom of God, are there, and you will take charge. You bind the demons, you name your people, and you bind the demons operating over them and in them. And then you command Satan to loose his hold over those people and to let them go. It is possible then that those people will suddenly find that they need some advice. In many cases, trouble will come into their life, and they will need some advice. And if you have been living a life of a child of God before then, it is hopeful that they will turn to you for advice. Then, when they ask questions, you should be ready with the answers. Be a deliverer of your family. Now I want to go on to deal with a large section of Christians in this country who, although they have been converted and have been born again, baptized in water, and many of the future, power seemed to be entrenched, which could not be moved except by bloodshed. Things that I have wanted you to do. You failed miserably in the election. You prayed, you fasted, but the results of your eyes were disappointing. I do not know how far the prayers of the Lord's people during the election time have influenced God in the situation as it is now in 1984. Or we shall have to wait until the record books are open to find out how far our prayers have produced the present crisis and the present situation. But I do know this, God is now giving us a new chance, a new opportunity, a new challenge to go back again to square one, to rise and to take part in the government of God in Nigeria again, and learn what it means to govern, what it means in these last days to have a priestly ministry, and to accomplish the purposes of God in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom in Nigeria in these last days, and the establishing of the kingdom of heaven on earth, and the overcoming of Satan by the people of God on earth before the coming of the Lord, to demonstrate that what Jesus Christ the Lord did, His church on earth can do as His representative by the same power of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that with this new challenge, with this new opportunity, God is going to begin again, as He did throughout so many instances in the Old Testament, when the darkness seemed intense, when the people have gone back into idolatry and corruption, God produced a new vessel, a Daniel, an Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, Elijah, all new vessels, new cruises, and that one vessel was sufficient to bring the nation back again to God. I am not suggesting by that God has got one man in Nigeria whom He's going to use to do that. God has got a body, and God is not dealing with individuals as individuals in relation to His government now. He's got a body, and He's going to use some of that body, a corporate body, to do what He wants to carry out and to carry out His purposes. I believe, in other words, there's a body inside a body, a church inside a church, an overcomer body inside the church, a Levite body, part of the holy nation of God, which is going to act as Gideon's army, as the Levites. But even amongst the Levites, you will find in Ezekiel 44 that the sons of Zadok were the only ones permitted to come near to God to minister to Him. Why weren't the other Levites permitted to come near to God? Because they've been unfaithful. They have participated in the times of apostasy. They worshipped and served other gods and all their ministers. Their idols and their experiences in their lives, as there are in the lives of many believing ministers today, and their idols of materialism, idols of pleasure seeking. There are some idols so subtle that only the Holy Spirit can pinpoint them in our lives as we open our hearts before Him. So, it was only those who remained faithful to the Lord, who loved the Lord, who stayed in right relationship with Him, only those
were allowed to come near to minister to him. The others were still allowed to be priests, but they were restricted to ministry of the outer court. They were able to minister to people, but not minister to the Lord. There was a distinction between the sons of Zadok and the other Levites. So, I believe today that there is a special company, a special group, a special body of believers being called, chosen, and anointed to perform this special ministry to be represented by the two olive branches beside the golden candlestick, a ministry of priesthood, a ministry of government. All are being offered salvation in Nigeria. Not all will accept. But those who of their own sin will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, are brought into his family, brought into fellowship with him, restored to a right relationship, and made sons of God. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body, and there are many who have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, who are brought into a body relationship, which can express the character of God in the manifestation of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, who can manifest the power of Jesus Christ through the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, revealing how mighty Jesus Christ is in relation to the need of the world today, and who can reveal the government and authority of God through the five ministerial gifts and offices and ministries mentioned in Ephesians 4:11. That's the general body. But there are many who are called to come into the fullness of what God has for them, but who are prepared to stay out in the outer court, to be content to be saved, to be content to enjoy the blessings, the gift blessings of Ephesians chapter 1, the seven gifts that become ours by virtue of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have those gifts. We are made sons. We are adopted. We are blessed. We are chosen and spiritually blessed. We are brought into relationship. But they do not hear the call to separate themselves to a priestly ministry. They do not go on to serve the Lord. That is not a special choice on the part of God, of the people. Because we can all enter into that ministry. But it is quite certain we will not all enter into that ministry. Some will prefer to remain, many I suspect, will prefer to remain in the outer court, going in and out into the world and trying to enjoy the blessings of being a Christian and the prosperity and material blessings of the world. They may and can arrive in heaven as sons of God. They are the people who have lost their inheritance or wasted it or never entered into it, like the ones that fell in the wilderness of the nation of Israel. They are the ones, like the elder son of the prodigal son parable, who, living at home and with all their inheritance, do not enter into it and enjoy it. But there are those who are priests, who enter in, and who are prepared to pay the price, not for themselves, but on behalf of others. And there are those who will go still further and who will exercise government and become governors, and those priests and those governors have got to realize that their ministry is not through or by means of an earthly organization, not by earthly gifts or education ability, but by a special anointing, and I stress the word anointing, a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. This must seem to indicate that God has special chosen ones. And I'm well aware of the dangers of their life in saying these things. God does not particularly set out to choose a body of priests, a body of governors. He did not choose Zadok and his priests. They chose to be faithful, and by being faithful, they became the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And they were allowed to enter in to minister to the Lord. Even Can I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the choice of his 12 apostles, regarded them all as brothers? But he didn't take the 12 of them up onto the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. He only took 3. Peter, James, and John. I do not know whether you feel able to accuse God of favoritism, but you certainly chose those 3, and those 3 are a special revelation. Even though they went to sleep in the middle of it. That revelation prepared them for a ministry yet to come. But God allowed them to come into that revelation. So I believe the same thing is happening today. God is speaking to his church, the body, and some are hearing what God is saying. They are moving out of the outer court, desiring to dedicate their lives and ministry to the rest of the body, in intercession and in teaching and in ministry. But they are not fully dedicated. They are trying to build an organization for themselves, they're trying to build a ministry for themselves, and they're trying to do it with human being means and ability and charisma. It won't work. The ministry that preached is going to be a ministry of full dedication, which can only come into operation as it is of pure gold. It's totally spiritual, totally heavenly, totally divine. It's preached through by the candlestick in Zechariah 4, have that experience. And that is going to be our experience in these last days. We are not going to be able to enter into the ministry of truth if we rely upon human ability, human training, human experience, and human method to accomplish it. It must be totally Holy Spirit, totally divine, totally spiritual. And there are those who will enter into the priestly ministry in holy life, is dedicated to ministry to others, not themselves. You can detect in their prayers what they are doing spiritually. Those prayers that are concerned mainly with what we want, what I need, they are not the right ones. They are the right ones are those who intercede on behalf of others, who are standing before God as priests, to, like the priests of the Old Testament, with senses in our hands, with the prayers of saints, pouring out our prayers, our hearts before God, demanding, claiming our right as priests, that God will spare Nigeria. We agree that its corruption is our judgment. It's this mishandling of the chances and opportunities and the wealth that God has given Nigeria, that's really unspiritually. We have wasted them. We've wasted our inheritance. Yes, there's a body of people that God is bringing together in this country that will stand before him as priest, as the high priest within the Day of Atonement, to avert the judgment. We are here to avert judgment, to stop the hand of total judgment upon the nation. God will judge, and no one will stop his hand. The next 3 years are going to see a big reign of judgment upon many who have been corrupt. We cannot interfere with that. But we do say God is going to spare Nigeria to fulfill God's will and plan for Nigeria as being the new vessel in the great continent of Africa for the blessing of other nations in the world. We claim that. And as we enter into that realm, we shall also come out from the presence of God with words in our hearts and upon our lips, which will be creative words, which will bind things, execute judgment upon the people who are wrong, and who will control the spiritual powers that are governing the leaders of our nation today. We can do that, and that is our right. But not all will enter into that. I want to use an illustration from the Old Testament to give you an idea of what I mean. There are three different kinds of anointings in the Old Testament. Let me tell you one. There's the anointing of the leper. Leviticus 14 gives clear instructions for the cleansing and restoration of the leper. And when a leper is cleansed, he had to show himself to the priest. And the priest anointed the leper. First, the leper offered a lamb for the festive offering, and the blood of the lamb is applied to the right ear, the right thumb, and the big toe of the right foot. After the blood was applied, the anointing oil was applied to the same spot on the ear, thumb, and toe. That's Leviticus 14, 13, and 17. The blood of the lamb portrays the blood of Jesus Christ, which takes away the sin of the world. It cleanses our hearing, that's the ear, cleanses our service, that's the thumb, and cleanses our walk, that's the toe. And as we allow the blood to cleanse our hearing, so that we can hear the word of God clearly, instead of being half in the world and half in the service of God, we will then move on with our hands, which were covetous and desired the things of this world and used in violence, as our hands are cleansed and anointed with blood, we use our hands in loving service to the Lord and the others. At Ephesians 4:28, the leper was cleansed and his toe was anointed. We learn to walk in ways that are not ways of rebellion, wickedness, and strife. We are renounced the hidden works of darkness and immorality, and walk in the paths of righteousness and purity. It is not only the blood of the Lamb that was cleansed the leper, it is the anointing oil which restores him. And the Holy Spirit has come to empower us to act on what God speaks to us. He anoints our ears, he anoints our hands, he anoints our feet so that we can listen to his word and understand it, so that we can minister with our hands to it, and we can walk in the ways of God. But there are many, many Christians today who are cleansed, who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, whose sins are forgiven, that we have not submitted to the anointing of their ears, of their hands, and their feet. They are working spirits in ways of evil and immorality. Those people are cleansed lepers. They are sons. They've been restored to the family. They've been brought into the family of God and are sons of God. But not anointed sons of God in the sense that they are serviceable and useful to God. There are many thousands in churches today saved, born again, even baptized in the Holy Ghost, who have gone back and soiled their garments in their walk in the world. There is another person who was anointed, and that is the priest. The priest anointed for special service. They were of a special tribe, the tribe of Levi in the Old Testament. And they were no better than the other tribes, but they were specially selected and given the opportunity to for special service on behalf of the whole nation. They were not given a separate inheritance when they got into the land. Every tribe had to give up some of the Levites' portion of their land as the inheritance of the tribe. So the priests had an inheritance in every tribe. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life not only saves us from the guilt and penalty of sin, but the Lord wants to save us from that power of sin and to bring us into relationship with himself, giving us not only the authority as sons, but the authority as intercedors, priests, to be able to minister to the Lord like Zadok and his sons on behalf of the others, to enter right into the presence of God. And I want to assure you, there are a large number of Christians who could become priests, to be prepared to dabble in immorality and the things of the world, and who are losing their inheritance, losing their rights, and are content to be plain sinners without going on to ministry. God doesn't choose who they are, they choose themselves by their dedication. And I want to urge you to think seriously to what you are dedicated. Are you dedicated to your secular work, to your business, to your ministry, to succeeding in what you are? Then I'll assure you that you cannot enter into the presence of God on behalf of others. You may pray, you may know how to pray, but you will pray for yourself mostly, and it will not be effective as a priestly anointing. And thirdly, the Old Testament describes the anointing of kings, anointing to power and authority. It was the priestly anointing, it was the kingly anointing which Jesus spoke of in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when Jesus delivered the gospel, it was not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. And Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, and manifest authority. I was interested in to note the other day that when the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into the old synagogue in Nazareth and took up that scroll on that Sabbath day and opened it to Isaiah 61, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is appointed is upon me because he has anointed me to," and then he gave a list of the things which he was anointed to do. And it is remarkable the limits that the Lord Jesus Christ put upon his own ministry. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives. There was no question of kingship, there was no question of a priesthood, there was no question of authority, there was no question of government, there was no question of his divine rights and as being son of God. He came to restore, and he kept to that ministry whilst he was on earth. When he had completed that ministry by his death upon the cross, and God raised him up from the dead as a signal and a sign that he had accepted his ministry, he rose from the dead to the right hand of God, and God said, "Sit thou on my right hand. Thou art now a priest, after the order of Melchizedek, a priest and a king." And he gave him as a gift the Holy Spirit, which anointed him as priest-king in heaven. And that anointing came and poured down over his waking body in the upper room in Jerusalem. And that body, which continues today, is the anointed body of the Lord Jesus Christ, anointed to be priests, anointed to be kings, anointed to minister as interceders, anointed to be governors, and to speak to mountains to establish what God wants to do on the earth. God has already established what he wants to do in heaven. There's no question of authority or government in heaven. There's only one person of authority, and that's God himself. He wants to re-establish it on the earth, and he's going to demonstrate he can do it on the earth before the Lord Jesus Christ unites his body to himself again in a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit to use fallen but redeemed, restored, anointed men and women on the earth to do the job that the Lord Jesus Christ did and completed to perfection. That's the call of God for us in these days of 1984 in Nigeria. Don't let the call slip. Don't let us sit down and enjoy the renewed hope that we have in Nigeria. I am calling upon you to step forward and minister, to enter into a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to offer yourself as a priest with all that it demands, to minister with garments of praise, with the names of the people of God on your hands, with the burden of this nation on your heart, to minister in the presence of God on their behalf, to act as kings, to exercise authority. And that is not coming cheaply, that is not coming easily. God is not going to give us authority until we know how to use power. We will cut the heads of people off, whereas we should pray for them and restore them. God has got to teach us how to use power. God has got to teach us how to exercise authority. I am challenging you, every one of you that's listening to my voice, to rise up and enter into a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in this nation, for this nation, in these last days. We have now come to 1984 and its new challenge. And I am looking forward to a growing number of men and women who are going to hear this challenge, who are going to rise up and put it number one priority in their lives, before marriage, before their secular work, before their wealth, before anything else they want, to give themselves an intercessory ministry, priesthood ministry before God, on behalf of this nation and this continent and this world, and then to come out to exercise authority and speak the word of authority, which we will learn how to operate in the presence of God.
Be sure to be free of demons and demon control as long as you walk in light, as long as you walk under the protection of the Holy Spirit, and in fellowship with each other, as we stand together and move together, that will help us. Satan cannot get in between us and divide us then. May the Lord help you to keep clean